You didn't enjoy Chinese food?
No.
Hey everybody, welcome to a room full of nerd stuff.
Hello.
Oh, let me shut the door. Say hi to everybody, Mike.
Hi everybody. I am Mike. That is Chris shutting the door. And now we wait for him to come back.
Okay, the door is shut. What were you saying?
My intro took less time than it took you to get over there and close the door.
Well, the door is like right there. I probably could have just like thrown something at it. But whatever.
So, what has been going on this week?
Nothing. I've been working. I started a new job, which is pretty awesome. I learned how to do the skip rope. Mm-hmm. If you haven't been paying attention to the YouTube channel, which is youtube.com/homeworldvideo, is that right?
I don't know. I don't
yes.
even subscribe to it.
Not even my fucking YouTube page. Chris, why are you asking me? That's a good question. Yes, youtube.com/homeworldvideo. You can find the first room full of nerd stuff video, which is Mike Reacts to Chinese Food by the people that brought us Rebecca's Black Friday. After that, I also introduced Mike to the dance.
You say that wrong every time. You say Rebecca's Black Friday, which is what screwed me up last time when you told me about it, because I was like, who's for Rebecca and why is she singing about Black Friday? It's the Friday song by Rebecca Black.
I just had a revelation as I opened up the Chinese food video. I did not tweak the audio tracks any, which means it's still in like stereo channels. You play it and it's like we're standing on either side of somebody talking about the video.
Standing on either side of the television that we're watching the video on, going, why are we watching this?
It still hasn't topped The Room, which now sits at over 1,700 views.
That's ridiculous.
We did get a new comment 2 days ago. YouTube user The World Loves a Bastard says that, for fuck's sake, whoever keeps scraping a boulder plate and sucking on sodas, it's annoying as fuck.
Well, then you make your own fucking room commentary, you douche.
Well, but thanks for
asshole.
But thanks for watching.
No, fuck you. Go away. Dickhead. I don't even know that he's talking about me, but I don't give a shit. Kiss my ass, cocksucker.
I don't think it was either of us, Caesar.
It's all Caesar's fault. Everything's Caesar's fault because he's not here to defend himself.
And you know what? In 10 months when he listens to this episode, I'm sure he will respond.
Hey, that's not cool.
But it is accurate. So what have you been up to, sir?
I have had debilitating stomach pains all week, and I finally went to the doctor. It started actually a couple weeks ago. And finally went to the doctor.
Was this back around the time that we were like, let's record a podcast, and halfway through you were like, my pooper's not going to let me record this podcast.
It explains why that happened.
Ah.
Because I have been officially diagnosed with irritable bowel syndrome, which is fun.
Mike is so grumpy, even his bowels are irritated.
Yes. But no, that explains why we've had to, like, record this whenever I'm like, okay, it's calm for the moment. But no, I had found out these stomach pains that have made it so that I couldn't even work.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's like sitting upright for more than an hour just killed me.
Right.
And I have had IBS-C, which is actually constipation. So not only is it angry, but I'm also stuffed up.
This is a good podcast.
Yeah. But, I mean, it's good because I finally have an answer as to what's been going on. And I have medicine to fix it.
Yay.
So, yes, that is what I did this week, is just doubled over most of the day taking this medicine that the way it works is it takes all the water in your body and just directs it straight to your intestines.
Just like a good colon flush?
Yeah, except like when you're plugged up, it's just filling the poo in there with water and expanding
right.
it. So I've felt like a pregnant woman all month or all week. Because, everything in my gut was just swelling up with water. And,
wow.
So it's been fun of taking that and just sitting here hurting all week. Until I finally decided to let go tonight, which that was an adventure.
What a fun night you must have just had.
Oh, yeah. It started working earlier in the day, and it's normal poops. So it was good times.
You were like, all right, the poops are good.
And it's like the side effects for this thing, this medicine I'm taking, are just fucking awful. Like, stop taking if you're bleeding from your rectum. But it's like, first one, okay. Second one, all right, that wasn't terrible. Third one, it felt like I shit out a billiard ball.
A billiard ball? That's very specific shit.
It was big and it hurt. And then right after I got done with that one is when I get back on Twitter and you're like, hey, we still need to record a podcast. How you doing? You want to go? It's like, I should just shat out something the size of my fist. Give me a minute.
I gave you 3 hours.
Was it 3 hours ago?
Oh, it was an hour ago.
I'd listened to a podcast, an Art of Wrestling podcast, Colt Cabana. I'll expect my check in the mail. Thank you.
Yeah, the check from us.
And, so I knew it was about an hour long because that's how long his shows are. And so it's like I listened to one of those while I was just kind of waiting and making sure that everything was clear. And everything's clear, so yay!
Yay! The bowels are clear.
Hopefully if I keep taking this medicine, we will not have to do another podcast where I stop 20 minutes in and go, gotta shit!
If we do, what we're going to do is we're just going to cut out the time where you shit, and it will just be a podcast where every 5 minutes you go, gotta shit!
Yeah.
Okay, better now.
Better now. Nope.
So a little bit of housekeeping before we go on. As everybody who listens to this podcast knows, by the way, hi Danny, hi Tarf.
Yeah, I hope Danny and Tarf enjoyed hearing about my bowel problem.
I firmly expect a tweet or a comment, please, from Tarv about his issues, because doesn't he have some similar issues he's talked about in the past?
I don't know.
No?
I'm not sure. I mean, who hasn't had stomach problems, but I'm
people
not...
People without stomachs?
I'm not sure that his is chronic like mine is.
Okay. Bit of housekeeping, though, for those of you that listen to us. I think changing the name of the podcast has made iTunes go like a giant squid of anger. I apologize. I've been watching a lot of Vlogbrother videos lately. So what will probably happen is we will just treat Room Full of Nerd Stuff as its own separate beast. ARG is gone. I will leave it be, and we will just start treating this as its own thing,
so
not ARG related.
That means that the numbering starts over?
I don't. Should we? What do you think?
I think so.
So this should be Room Full of Nerd Stuff number 2.
Yes.
And
where,
last week
where
be
we speak about number 2.
And last week, if we're gonna do that, I'd call it Room Full of Nerd Stuff number 1, number 2s.
So we'll retroactively make this one the first one.
I'll go back and I will call the last one ARG number 25/ Room Full of Nerd Stuff number 0.
There you go, and this will be the first official episode.
This will be Room Full of Nerd Stuff number 1. So, a couple days from now, I think I'm off Monday, I will set up the new iTunes feed, and I will make a big post and a big tweet about it. For now, it'll stay on the home world. I've been debating if I can catch a domain sale, maybe setting up its own thing. It wouldn't be, like, off the home world, but you would be able to go to, like, roomfullofnerdstuff.com, and it would take you right to the feed. And then we just see where it goes from there, because we are getting some listeners to this. I don't know anything about you people, because you don't comment on the fucking website. I wish you would.
It's that Nigerian or Lithuanian kid or whatever the fuck it is that really loved Raw Reactor.
Who, the guy named Benoit with a picture of a zombie on his page?
Was that it?
No.
Whatever, you were telling me that that you kept getting a lot of hits from, like, one guy in some weird country. Like, oh, thank God, peace is finally back.
I vaguely remember. It wasn't like one person. We just got a lot of hits. Like, Raw Reactor was a big deal in the Dominican Republic among, like, 16-year-olds.
There you go. There's some excited group of Dominican children that are just so happy to hear your voice again.
Which, speaking of which, I have a new job, which involves less responsibility, so I got to get with Caesar.
But more Dominicans?
His schedules are like more Dominicans, but if we would like more Dominicans, if you've been a fan of the Raw Reactor in the past, you want to see it come back, send us a tweet or a comment. Tell us what you want it to say. I would like to bring it back just because it is arguably the only successful thing I've ever done, which makes me sad, but I enjoyed it, and it was a lot of fun. It probably won't be live commentary, because as we've expressed in the past, a three-hour wrestling commentary podcast is not pleasant.
No, I liked what we at least set out to do with the like, two episodes that we recorded, where it was, like, a rundown of the week's events.
Yeah, just like a round table.
It should probably be a little more structured than it was, though.
Possibly.
We should, like, find bullet points to talk about instead of just, like, so, this happened, and in the middle of that,
well, I had,
trail off.
I had a genius
else.
Idea where I would mediate it, and then I would just, like, throw you and Caesar at each other, but the one time I tried that, Caesar went, nah, he's actually okay.
So, Mike, Caesar hates Chris Jericho, and go. Nah, I don't like, he's all right. Nah.
God damn it, Caesar, you ruined that. So, I'd like to figure something out for that, but that's going to be something where I get Caesar.
I love that you were like, hey, Mike, Caesar hates Chris Jericho. Like, I'm a huge Jericho mark. Like, this will get the shit stirring. We got the world's biggest Jericho fan against his least fan. Like, yeah,
hey, Mike.
He's not that
hey,
bad.
Mike.
I'm like, he's not that great.
Hey, Mike, Caesar said Maria Kanellis is an underrated talent in the ring.
Some of her Ringer Honor stuff. She ain't bad.
We'll figure it out. We're also going to be working on new logos and stuff. ARG stuff is going to stay in the shop because ARG is, I mean, it's gone. Maybe we'll do something else with the ARG name, the ARG brand.
Brand?
It's a brand. It's like Raw and SmackDown. Now there's ARG and Room Full of Nerd stuff.
I think you're almost right there with your slip up with it's a bland.
Maybe.
It is very bland.
It was pretty bland. A lot of Power Rangers.
Mm-hmm.
You know it's going to be a room full of nerd stuff?
More
probably Rangers. A lot of Power Rangers.
Except I haven't watched the last episode, so I can't comment on that.
The Halloween episode of Megaforce?
Mm-hmm.
Where Emma couldn't participate because she was baking and she could not abandon her pie.
Hey, pie is hard to make, and if you just leave it, it could burn. And then no one gets pie, Chris. Is that what
you
want?
It's just funny, because I saw a thing on Tumblr where it was from the, I can't remember which episode it was, where Troy's like, come on, we can't make the girls buy the milkshakes. We're gentlemen. And somebody was like, is Megaforce reinforcing sexism? And I was like, that's ridiculous. And then I see, like, Emma's in the kitchen baking, and she can't leave to go save the world. And I'm like, okay, maybe there's a little bit of sexism in Megaforce.
That's not sexism. It's racism, because she's Asian and they love to bake.
I thought they loved karate.
She's already doing the karate. She's a Power Ranger.
Oh, right, right. No, she's not a Power Ranger because she karates.
She's a Power Ranger because of her mad BMX skills.
Her mad BMX skills. Maybe she is the BMX ninja.
There you go, Saban. Make that a show.
Still not the most offensive Power Rangers concept I've ever come up with.
Recast, what's her name? Christina Masterson?
Yeah.
This is a long name for such a small girl.
What?
She's a little Asian woman. She should not have a name like what? Christina Masterson.
She's too tiny and Asian for that name.
Yes, that is way. There's way too many syllables in that for an Asian name. But yes, recast her.
She should just be Krima.
Exactly.
Let's see. Episodes it took for horrible racist humor.
One.
Nobody will hear it because they won't get past your graphic description of your bowel problems.
They're just going to be scrubbing through this going, why would he stop talking about his butt? I wish that we had, like, some engineer with a soundboard that could drop that line into anything. Why won't he stop talking about his butt? That's what the show needs. We need an engineer with a soundboard that can just drop stuff in, past quotes and stuff, like the guy on Loveline.
Well, I've got that, but I would have to get the clips set up right, unlike how they are now with their weird, like, minute delay before they play, which I think they all do. I can't remember. Was there a delay on that one? I feel like there was.
There was silence on that one.
You didn't hear that?
You just cut out, and there was nothing.
Hey, maybe there's...
Okay, that
anything?
Was, like, Legend of Zelda?
Yeah. No delay, because I think what's
oh,
going on
is
the Ultimate Warrior... Okay.
But the first one, I couldn't hear anything.
Because the Ultimate... Yeah. Yeah. Boy, you know what we are?
Professionals.
Professional.
But yeah, so I didn't watch that, so I can't comment on it. I did watch Bound for Glory with their half-full arena.
I didn't watch that, but I was off that day, but by the time I remembered it was going on, I had also remembered that I don't give a shit about TNA in its current state.
Well, if we're going to start Raw Reactor back up, you need to start watching it.
I didn't watch it before, and I was totally okay.
Well, that's because you had two people who didn't care about wrestling. If you want me on this show, you're going to have to start watching TNA.
You're such a smart...
Except that this show was not worth watching.
I just had a genius idea. I'm going to make a cutting board on Cafe Press, but I'm going to put that picture of the guy on the bearskin rug that I photoshopped your head onto on it.
Why?
Why not? And then I'm going to buy it for your mom.
With my picture on it? Why?
Yeah. And I'm going to see if she can tell it's not really you.
But it is really me.
No, because River, it's that guy laying on the rug, and I photoshopped your
that
face onto
really
it, and then I put
me.
The lightsaber in the bearskin. Your body doesn't have that much definition, or that little hair.
Right. I think I was the bear that the guy was laying on.
That's what I should have done. Should have photoshopped your head onto the bear.
But yes, that was a bad show to sit through. But what really pissed me off, and it still pisses me off because they didn't address it at all on Impact, was, they keep showing clips of AJ Styles because it's his first chance at the world title in a year, and it's against Bully, who's been running roughshod over the company for the past year. And, right. So they're going back and forth. Here's Bully in his locker room. Here's AJ. Here's a package on him. Here's a package on him. Blah, 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 blah. And then it shows Bully in his locker room, and he's talking to someone just off camera, and he's like, they thought you were gone. They thought you were dead, but tonight we're really going to shake it up. And then...
Was it Owen?
That's bad, Christopher.
Still not the most offensive joke about a dead person I've made.
But, he's like, they thought you were dead. They thought you were gone, but we're going to show them tonight. We're really going to shake it up. And then it's a no disqualification match. Garrett runs out there, interferes, gets chased off. Nux goes out there, interferes, gets chased off. And then no one fucking else comes out.
Why do the heels not cheat in no DQ matches?
I know. Like, you have a group here who is built up like a biker gang. They're in a no DQ match. Why are the three guys in the group not beating the shit out of AJ right now? But they all run out one at a time and get run off. But then there's no... It's like, who was he talking to? They don't address it. They don't say anything.
Mm-hmm.
And the show ends. AJ wins. And it's, okay, who was the guy? Ah, maybe they're saving it for Impact. Impact comes, nothing. Not even a who was Bully talking to backstage. It's just not even addressed. Why? This is the main problem with TNA, is that they don't follow through with anything. And it's pissing me off.
Who could it have been?
Although, I think it was going to be Eric Bischoff, but
right.
Then he decided to not show up tonight. Well, I don't know if it was his decision or if they just sent him home or what, but it was reported that, big creative team member not at Impact tonight, and it was Eric Bischoff, and he's not expected to be back, so maybe it was him, and since he just left, they decided to kind of sweep it under the rug and don't acknowledge it.
Sounds like the standard TNA practice.
Which, if they got rid of Eric Bischoff, thank fucking God, that piece of shit. I don't say that about anyone wrestling, but Eric Bischoff is a piece of shit.
Well, no, I mean, don't forget, Hulk Hogan once said the key to a successful wrestling company is to give Eric Bischoff the keys and give Eric Bischoff unlimited funds.
Yeah, because that's what he did in WCW.
And look how well it worked out.
Well,
oh wait,
never mind. For about 3 years, it was going all right.
Eric Bischoff's like a really bad lion that tortures its prey for 3 years, but then just kind of, gets bored with it and lets it get away, and then spends the rest of his life as a lion. Like, you know, I almost killed that prey once.
Yeah. Like, hey, there was a time when
what a bad analogy
there
that
was. There was a time when my show beat WWE for a year. Hey, that was me, my show. Yeah, your show's gone now, isn't it, Eric? Uh-huh. But it beat them for a little while. But, yeah.
Eric's Bischoff.
That is another rant for another project, I think, as to
Arg the Vlog?
No, because I told you that I want to do these videos, and it's the problem is that it's going to take me drawing a bunch of little pictures. It's like, I could sit down and just ramble all this shit out, except that that's also kind of a stumbling block, because I want to write it out and get my thoughts in a decent order and be able to do what I'm not doing here.
Right, which is just kind of trying.
It's like, I actually want to say something and sound like I have something to say. And then there's a show called Extra Credits online that talks about video games and the video game industry, and it has these little drawings of these little kind of bobble-headed characters. And I thought that would be cool to do for wrestling. The problem is that I would need to come up with a rant every week, record it, draw up all these little pictures, edit it all together, and throw it up on the internet, which is a lot more work than I really feel like undertaking, especially the way I've been feeling. Now that I'm better, I might actually give it a go, but over the last couple weeks where I've just been feeling shitty.
poop jokes.
Yeah, I haven't done it.
I wonder what I'll use as the featured image.
Don't use a poop.
Just need to find a picture of a big, steamy, googly-eyed piece of shit.
It's Mr. Hankey.
Well, if I'm going to put a piece of shit, why don't I just use
that? Yeah, there
picture?
You go.
Oh!
God, that fucking guy.
That fucking guy is unfucking believable. I got distracted there. I was trying to find news for us to talk about. I read that Marv Wolfman is taking over the Superboy title for DC. And the first thing he's doing is killing Superboy and replacing him with a future villainous Superboy. Thanks, Marv Wolfman.
So you get a book, and the first thing that you do is kill the main character.
Yeah, the first thing you do is go, not going to write him.
Well, didn't they do that with Spider-Man, too?
Well, it's still the same guy writing it that's been writing it for, like, three years now. That clusterfuck.
I thought that was a new guy, and his like great new idea was to kill Peter Parker and put Dr. Octopus in his body.
No, which from my understanding, that story came around. He was just kind of like, I'll just kill him. And everybody at Marvel went, fuck it, why not?
We've done everything else to Spider-Man. Why not kill him?
Which of course, the seeds have been planted over the past few months for that storyline to come to an end, conveniently just as the next Spider-Man movie is about to come out. Not that I called that, like, a week before Spider-Man died.
Yeah. Didn't they do that with Captain America? Like, didn't Steve Rogers just resurface right before the movie came out?
Yeah, right before the movie came out. It was like, oh, Captain America isn't really dead. It's a weird gun that locked him in time. I was like,
for magic time,
so we're just pulling this out our ass, huh? It was pretty much, it was time, but he shot him with Superboy punches is what it amounts to. It was like a Nerf gun that shot Superboy fists. Thump.
Oh, God.
It's a weird thing, because Captain America never really died. He was just locked in time.
I'm going to create something now called Time Bullets.
I feel like those already exist in comics. Time Bullets?
Is it called Time Bullets? Because, God, that cracks me up. I don't know why. It's not that funny. But he was shot with Time Bullets and got stuck.
This is pretty funny, actually. If you search for Time Bullets on Google, the third suggestion is Time Bullets Captain America.
God. See, this type of shit is what kills me. Absolutely kills me when I see people on Twitter going, yeah, comics, great, we love comics.
Just this past week, Tony Stark discovered that he was adopted.
Huh?
He has a brother he never knew about, to which my first response is, so which, like, D-list Marvel villain is going to be Tony Stark's father now?
Loki.
No, D-list. D-list.
It's Loki, and we find out that Tony is actually, like, a lost son of Asgard. And him and Thor are bros.
And then...
He becomes the Iron God.
He may as well fucking be.
You're welcome, Marvel. I'll expect my check in the mail. Giving you all these awesome ideas.
The Flash solved his big crisis the same way he's solved every crisis for the past 3 years since the writer stopped being interested. Pretty much, I'm going to run it really fast into the Speed Force, and when we come out, he's going to be beat up, and I'm going to be all better, and nobody's going to question it. And then I'm going to and then I'm going to monologue about how the Speed Force is clearly, like, kind of wonky, but I can control it, and I have to for the good of humanity.
I have no idea what the Speed Force is.
It's a concept that was really cool when it was introduced, and now it... basically, for, like, years, you had Mark Waid writing The Flash, and Mark Waid was really interested in the character. And he created this, like, really well-fleshed-out concept and story, and there was a lot of science involved in it, and it was a very good book. And then Geoff Johns took over and, like, just jacked off all over the villains. For a while there, it was all about the villains, and it was still pretty cool because, you know, the Mark Waid stuff was still there, and he wasn't really touching it. And then, you know, it got worse.
It was still really good, but then it got sick, and now it's not good. But what's this Flash Force or Speed Force for?
It's like the native force in the DC universe that powers all the super speedsters, and it's an entity that you can only, like, actually go in and not die unless you're super special.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even know how to explain it. It's one of those things that's really cool when you read about it, but then when you try to tell somebody about it, you go, it's a thing.
So is it like sort of an alternate dimension that speedsters can get into?
Think of it as a big tunnel of time.
Okay.
Yeah. That's the best way. I mean, they know it's a thing and they know what it does, but nobody in the series has ever really, like, when they hit it, they can kind of run through it and travel through time, and That's a thing.
I guess I can kind of understand that.
Does Wiki have a concise explanation that makes sense? There's a whole page on it. Thank God, Wiki. Vaguely defined extra-dimensional energy force from which most, but not all, super-speed-powered heroes of the DC Comics universe draw their enhanced abilities. For example, the multiple heroes named The Flash, Johnny Quick, Jesse Quick, XS, the Tornado Twins, and Max Mercury all draw their powers from the Speed Force. Speed Force is also seen as a physical space to which speedsters can travel. Max Mercury traveled through time as a result of his efforts to enter the Speed Force and ended up several decades into the future every time he made an attempt. Bart Allen could control the Speed Force and could commune with the spirits in the Speed Force through meditation. When speedsters die, they become one with the Speed Force, as it is an afterlife for them. Max Mercury's own spirit is trapped inside following his possession by the rival, in a storyline that never ended because they fucking rebooted the entire universe!
It's the Fast Force. These pretty speed much. Jedis die and become part of it.
And so you get some really cool storylines from it, like Max Mercury's whole backstory is he was a Native American who had super speed powers and just pushed too far and found himself thrown like 1,000 years in the future. And so he kept trying to run and catch it again to get back to his time, but every time he did, it would just kind of fling him to a random point in time, and by the time he's in the modern age, he's kind of just given up and deals with it.
Oh.
But it explains, like, it was kind of the MacGuffin they created to explain why when the Flash runs, all his skin doesn't peel off.
Because he goes into this extra-dimensional space.
Well, because it, like, kind of creates an aura around them that protects them. Yeah, which... Yeah.
Although, what I took away from that big explanation as to what it is there was not one but two Flashes with the last name Quick.
No. There's four Flashes: Jay Garrick, Barry Allen, Wally West, and Bart Allen. There was a speedster in the Justice Society of America, Johnny Quick, and there's his daughter, Jessie Quick.
Okay, there are two speedsters with the last name Quick.
Yes. I don't think that's their real last name. I think it's, their real last name is Chambers.
That is less fast than Quick.
Less fast than Quick. That's more like standstill. But it's also used to explain things like why the Flash can run around the world and punch a guy and his arm doesn't, you know, shatter.
Well, of course it wouldn't shatter, because he's Flash. The other guy's jaw should shatter.
Yeah, but
he's not
the laws
Flash.
Of physics would... Because he's not.
It should knock his jaw off fucking face.
I mean, there was some other stuff. I think the best example they ever used to explain it was, well, if the Flash was running and he tripped over a pebble, the Flash would wind up in Japan with a broken neck. Right, but thanks to the Speed Force. So, and then you get stuff like there was the Black Flash, which was the speedster embodiment of death, which was a really cool, just like, skeleton wearing a Black Flash costume. And whenever a speedster was near death, the Black Flash would show up, and if they cheated death, they would chase them and try to kill them.
That actually does sound kind of cool.
It was pretty cool. And the only way they beat it was, well, they grabbed it, ran it into the Speed Force, dropped it off at the end of time, and came back. That has actually been the solution to a number of Flash stories. Pick it up, run it to the end of time, and just come back.
So there's, like, this 1 second right before the planet blows up where there's just, like, this pile of shit that he's ran there.
A pile of shit and supervillains just like, huh.
Just,
I think they did it to Doomsday once. Which is funny because Fantastic Four just ripped that off when they had somebody take Blastar and drop him off in the Big Bang so it would kill him.
So they did,
which
the
I thought
opposite.
Was a pretty cool idea. Yeah, they took him to the beginning of time.
You see all these supervillains standing around this just pile of garbage looking as the sun supernovas going, well, shit.
Son of a bitch. And then there's all sorts of other, like, weird Speed Force-related abilities that were specific to certain members, like the Flash had the ability to make things go fast, like he could lend his speed, and he could also steal their speed, and other shit like that.
So
what
basically what you're saying is it's a thing.
It's a thing, exactly. I tried to say that. You were like, no, keep going.
At that point, I figured we still had a half hour to fill, but then it went 10 minutes into this whole Flash debacle, and I was like, okay, let's talk about anything else.
Please, just, dear God, anything else? Anything
else? Oh,
that
was this. Something that I wanted to ask you, and I asked it on Twitter, but I don't know if you saw it.
Probably not.
So, Arkham Origins is coming out tomorrow?
Yes.
I thought it was coming out yesterday, but apparently it's coming out tomorrow.
Technically, it's coming out today.
But yeah. I'm still 11:31, so it's still tomorrow. But it says that it takes place after Batman's been Batman for 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
And then that takes place 5 years before Arkham Asylum.
Mm-hmm.
And then that takes place 1 year before Arkham City. So the whole
right.
Batman chronology at this point is 8 years as far as the games.
Sounds about right. That's kind of what it is in it's actually longer than it is in the current DC universe.
That, it's unfeasible to me. Someone could have such a shitty decade. He has gone through 4 children.
No, because in the current Batman, he's only been Batman for about...
But wait, is this after the Flashpoint and the...
Yeah, in the New 52, he's only been Batman for about, I want to say, 5 years. And still had four Robins, but only 3 of them were actually Robins, because Tim Drake was Red Robin, not Robin, so he doesn't count according to DC Comics.
So he wasn't a for real, real Robin.
He was not a real, real Robin. He was just a real Robin.
Yeah, it's like
he was a Robin for real, not for play.
It's like I'm trying to think of everything that happened or everything that had happened by the time Arkham City happens, and that's 8 years after he started being Batman. And we're on the third Robin in that one.
In Arkham City?
Tim Drake, right?
I don't know if he's the, like, they haven't said outright that Jason Todd exists, and while there was a Nightwing in the playable version, in the, like, combat mode, there's not a Nightwing, I can't remember how it works out. Anyways, the thing to remember is the Arkham series is not the comic series, so I don't think...
But to think, like, it's like, okay, Barbara Gordon's been shot because she's Oracle in
right.
Arkham City.
Or she just, you know, fell down some stairs.
I was like, so that happened. Like I said, I think we were on the third Robin in that one, even though there wasn't Red Hood in it somewhere.
No.
Hush was in it.
There, but not... Yeah, but Hush was never really Red Hood.
I mean,
yeah.
I mean Hush in the game was still just kind of revealing himself. He wasn't anything. Like, apparently he had just started when the game takes place.
Right.
But still, god damn. I was just thinking about, like, okay, so basically Batman's at where he's at now in Arkham City, but he only started 8 years ago. He's had the worst decade of any human.
I know, right? And you know what, to top it all off, I don't know if you know this, Mike, his parents are dead. They're dead.
But it's like...
As a doornail.
It's like his parents...
They're dead as Owen Hart.
His parents died. Stop it. his parents died, and then he had a couple decent years growing up, and then he becomes Batman, and he just had a shitstorm hit him.
He was like, I'm going to become Batman, and everything's going to be better at the end of Arkham City. He's like, nope, this is a bad choice.
I brainwashed one child into becoming me. Another one's dead. I'm in the process of brainwashing a third. Batgirl's been shot. Joker's dead again. Yeah, it's just... there's a...
5 years before Arkham Asylum. Yeah, they want to make Batman young, but they want to cram everything in still, which is ridiculous.
Yeah, that's why I wanted to ask you, like... Over the course of, like, let's say before the New 52. Well, I guess that wouldn't work either
right.
Because they had all the crisis bullshit.
But even with that, I think, like, at one point the Batman timeline, because the solution with all the crisis stuff, I know specifically with Zero Hour, was to stop giving stuff, like, dates. Like, the biggest problem for the longest while was it was like, when did that Batman storyline take place in canon? Oh, Batman was doing that in 1963. Oh, so he's, like, 80? So what they started doing in Zero Hour was they were like, no, that happened 9 years ago, and they stopped giving it a specific year, and it was a sliding time scale. When did that story take place? 9 years ago. Doesn't matter if it's 1992 or 2009, 9 years ago. Which worked out really well, and then, you know, somebody was like, I want to use the old Crisis stuff, so they made Hyper Time, which said, all that stuff still exists, but you gotta go through this tunnel to get to it. It's Tunnel of Hyper Time. Hyper Time was an actual, that was really what they called it. Hyper Time. It was 1996, I don't know if you can tell. So then, somebody was like, the Hyper Time, it is, and I don't think that's why anybody complained, because it was like, that's what you would call it in comics.
Like, what else would you call it?
Like, if Obama got on your TV and was like, we've discovered Hyper Time, you'd go, that's fucking stupid.
Not thinking that it's the tunnel through timelines.
Yeah.
That could be actually pretty rad, but...
wait. Here's how comics it was. It was it debuted in an issue of Superboy, where he found it while riding through space on his space motorcycle. Wearing his leather 90s jacket. Oof, the 90s. We hate you, but we love you so much.
Yeah, I remember that when he had, like, the sides of his head shaved and that shitty leather jacket.
He was supposed to be, like, 14 in the 90s? He was styling. Maybe 16. He was supposed to be young as hell. So anyways, then somebody was like, the Hyper Time thing is stupid. We shouldn't do the Hyper Time thing. Well, let's just smash it all into one thing. And that was, I believe, Crisis.
The first Crisis? Crisis?
No. Second Crisis. Crisis. Because, hang on. Going back through the whole thing. Starting at the beginning.
You see, Siegel and Shuster invented a guy called Superman. And
So here's how it worked out. At some point in the 70s, somebody decided if we're going to start writing comics that are serious, we had to find some way to reconcile the fact that Batman has, like, killed people and also wore zebra costumes. So what they said was they basically, in the beginning of the Silver Age, did, like, a soft reboot. And then they said, no, that'll happen, like, because the biggest issue they had was they wanted to use the Justice Society of America, who were precursors to the Justice League of America, but they were like, if we use the Justice Society of America, they're all, like, 110 years old. Mm. Well, no, they're on Earth 2. Well, no, actually, they're on Earth 1, because we're on Earth 2. They're on Earth 1. So, you know, yeah. So what it was, it's a universe of multiple Earths.
Uh-huh.
All, like, kind of in a different frequency in terms of universe, so the Flash, like, vibrates really quick and accidentally goes between the fabric of space and winds up on Earth 1.
I thought that it had an orbit.
It's an adventure.
It, like, exactly mirrored Earth, but was on the opposite side of the sun, so we could never see it?
No, because there were thousands of Earths in the original concept.
Okay. But
and they were just, it was
I
like,
remember something about a second Earth that ran on the opposite side of the sun, so we never knew about it.
I think you're thinking of New Krypton?
Maybe. I don't know. I just remember that there was, like, our Earth and then another Earth just opposite us that ran the same pattern just on the opposite end of the solar system. So we never knew about
Comics,
it.
Comics, Earth, opposite, Sun. Oh, Counter-Earth. That's Marvel.
Oh, that's Marvel. Okay. I'm getting my bullshit other universes mixed up.
Counter-Earth. Well, wait, this took me to, like, a serious science page. Wait, is
no,
this
it's
real?
Not. It was not a serious science page. It's like an alien.
Oh, for the Marvel Comics planet, see Counter-Earth Comics. Okay. Near duplicate of Earth. Hi. Oh, yeah. That's a Marvel thing. The DC thing was originally there are thousands of Earths and they all exist in the same place and time, but in different universes that are separated just barely by the fabrics of space and time. And the Flash was able to access them because when he vibrated really fast, he could go back and forth between the fabrics of time and stuff. Sort of like a very fast, brightly colored, I don't know, sewing needle.
Just sit in a chair and go, and then he wakes up in another place.
He had to be in like a certain place when he did it. Because if I remember the story right, he was at a school doing a show for kids, and he was like, watch me disappear when I climb this rope. He climbed this rope and vibrated really fast, and then he was, like, somewhere totally different. Like, what the fuck?
But he is...
Anyways, and then he found the original Flash.
He does it, right?
Well, then he found the original Flash, Jay Garrick, which blew his mind, because on Earth 2, which is where the Flash and all the heroes we know are from, the JSA characters are comic book characters, and they aren't supposed to be real. But it turns out that comic book writers in this concept, when they are writing a story, are actually having visions of the other Earths.
Okay.
So, at some point in the 80s, somebody said, we have how many Earths? This is fucking ridiculous. So they did a big storyline where this big thing called the Anti-Monitor, or maybe it was the Monitor, I can't remember which one it was, because there's Monitor and there's Anti-Monitor. I've honestly never read Crisis on Infinite Earths because it was the 80s, and what was in then was good art, walls of text. So, it's a very wordy miniseries. Maxi series. Yeah, 12.
I'm imagining the Monitor as like a giant iguana.
No, it's a giant bald guy. The giant bald guy with a big forehead, and then the Anti-Monitor is like a giant purple dude with huge teeth. I can't. It's a thing. Going forward for comics discussions on Room Full of Nerd Stuff, if I ever say, it's a thing, that means we don't have enough time.
I just need to let it go.
Just shut the fuck up, Mike. Wiki it after the show.
I don't have enough time to read all this shit. I need you to explain it to me in an hour.
It would probably be quicker for you to just read Crisis on Infinite Earths.
No, because I still wouldn't know what the hell's going on because I don't read DC. Like, Flash met another Flash.
Was going,
I don't know who the fuck it is.
So he's going around eating all the other planets, not like Galactus eating, like just eating, destroying them. And in the end, they manage to stop him, but it like causes all the Earths to collapse, and it becomes one Earth, which they just call New Earth. And they just kind of made some consensuses and just allowed the JSA to be, like, 10 years older than the JLA. And some things they did away with, like Batman no longer wore zebra costumes, which was probably a good idea to start with.
So they got rid of the whole kind of toned-down, happy-go-lucky Batman from, like, the 60s.
Right. All that stuff, it's like, those stories happened, but not really. They happened somewhere else. And then some of the stuff from Earth 2 stayed on Earth 1, and some of the things from Earth 1 just went away, and they just kind of took the stuff they like and mushed it all together. And that was what they ran with until the 90s, when they ran into the issue that I mentioned earlier, where somebody was going, isn't Batman like 80 years old now? So they did Zero Hour, which was when Hal Jordan went evil, and he decided he was going to rewrite the timeline, and that gave them the sliding timeline where things just happened a certain number of years prior to the current age. And then they did Hypertime, and then somebody said Hypertime is stupid, and then they did Crisis on Infinite Earths, which was supposed to reconcile everything back to where it was before.
So how old is Batman?
Batman is immortal, Mike.
Now, while you're explaining all that, I'm thinking, like, okay, we need to get rid of when Batman wore a zebra costume or wore alternate colored outfits so that people wouldn't recognize him, so that we can hand him over to Frank Miller and Alan Moore and have him become a rapist.
No, you've got to remember, though, the reason Batman wore the zebra costume, I didn't want people to realize that Robin had a hurt arm. I think we've had this discussion before. And if you want to be technical about it, Batman is 74.
Okay, hang on a sec. I got to do some quick math here. If my
It's 2013. Batman debuted in 1939. He's 74.
But there's a thing about comics. Hang on, 74. Okay. Wow. There's a thing about comics that I read, at least, I think maybe it's just Marvel's way of doing it. It probably is. Mm-hmm. But it's like that every 3 actual years counts as 1 year in the comic world.
Right.
So doing that, Batman is only 25, which that doesn't seem right either.
But actually, I think that's kind of where DC wants him to be. I think they want him to be like late 20s, early 30s, which is stupid.
Yeah, he should be.
In my eyes, he's late 30s at the youngest. Batman should be older than everybody, and he should be more pissed off than everybody. Right. There are some, like, when you see the stories with, like, young, stupid, cocky Batman, it's a lot of fun, but I don't want all my Batman stories to be young, cocky, stupid Batman.
Yeah. It's like, when I read, like, initially, Arkham Origins is only 2 years into Batman, and he's a little cocky and arrogant and doesn't know, like, how to contain himself yet. It's like, awesome, how long does this take? Like, 10, 15 years before Arkham Asylum?
Five.
Really?
Well, you gotta figure getting your ass beat that regularly for 5 years would temper you a little
bit.
Like,
he turned into a grizzled old man real quick. But yeah, I agree that if are we really having conversation?
I just sat here and explained, like, the DC Comics timeline to you, and I'm just extremely pissed off, but I'm thinking about that's still easier to explain than an X-Men timeline. Who's that? That's Cable. Who's he? He's Cyclops' son. Who's Cyclops? That's the guy standing next to him, but Cable's older than him. I know! Why? X-Men? Oh.
I mean, just shrug. X-Men? God.
That's Jean Grey. I thought she died. You know, there are now 2 Jean Greys in the current X-Men story. There is the Jean Grey from the 60s, time displaced in the future, and there is Jean Grey from 30 years in the future, inexplicably alive again, come back in time to kill herself from the 60s.
So at some point between her most recent death, which I believe...
Which was actually in, like, 2005.
Yeah, I think that happened when, like, the fake Magneto flipped the world upside down, or tried to anyway.
Something like that. It was in a new X-Men, mm-hmm. I know. Jean Grey. How do you spell
her? I remember actually kind of enjoying that when it's like Zorn or Gorn or whatever the fuck his name is. It's like he's been infiltrating the X-Men and he's really Magneto. And now he's going to destroy the world. Yeah. It's like, rad! And then they kill him and some. And then, like, no, that was a fake guy who just thought he was Magneto.
Oh, the Zorn thing. Which is funny, because Jean Grey from the future came back to the past dressed as and calling herself Zorn.
God.
Brian Michael Bendis is like, hey, how pissed off are you guys about this Zorn thing? Here's more!
It's like, it didn't stop there. It was like, there was Zorn, and then he reveals himself to be Magneto, and then we find out later that he's really just a guy who hopped himself up on mutant growth hormone, thought he was Magneto, tried to act like Magneto, they kill him, find out Magneto's really still alive and living on Genosha. Also, another guy named Zorn shows up, who's like the brother of the guy who thought that he was Magneto or something.
He was the real Zorn, if I remember correctly. He's the equivalent of a Buddhist monk or something.
So now there's yet another Zorn who reveals herself to be Jean Grey from the future.
Yep.
So sometime between now and 30 years, we have to figure out when this Jean resurrected to come back into the past.
I try not to think about the timeline of X-Men comics because, I mean, it changes on a whim. Wow. Murdered by... Yeah, 2000... Okay, I have here a list of the deaths of Jean Grey. Are you ready for this? 1976, dies piloting a crashing space shuttle. This is when she was supposedly saved by the powers of the Phoenix, but it was revealed that it was not really Jean Grey. This is all from memory, by the way. I'm just reading the list. I remember most of these storylines. It wasn't really Jean Grey. It turns out it was the Phoenix, assuming the form of Jean Grey. The real Jean Grey is in a cocoon at the bottom of the lake where she is later found by the Fantastic Four. I'm dead serious. That is how that happened. Uncanny X-Men number 137, September 1980, commits suicide on the moon. That is where she actually was the Phoenix, and then she was put on trial for being the Phoenix. And she was like, I'm just going to kill myself.
So is that...
Oh, wait, no, that was also the Phoenix created a duplicate of Jean. And then, like, 2 years later, they were like, we're going to do X-Factor, and it's going to be the original X-Men. And Marvel was like, Jean Grey's dead. And they're like, let's make her not dead. And now you know who to blame. Erased from existence by Thanos, Infinity Gauntlet number 1 in 1991. Doesn't really count. Everybody was erased from existence. They all got better when Captain America... Or no, it was... How did that go? Everybody was erased from existence because Thanos was like, I want Death to love me, and Death didn't love him. And he was like, this is bullshit. I'm going to resurrect every one of them. Because Thanos is an idiot. Uncanny X-Men number 281 in 1991. Killed by Sentinels? I don't remember that one.
They all got erased from existence, but then got better?
Pretty much. Because Thanos had the gauntlet, and he erased everybody from existence to appease Death, because Thanos' thing is he can't die, but he's in love with Death, and they can't be together until he's dead, because Death wants nothing to do with him, and blah, blah, blah. So he erased everybody from existence, and he was like, hey, Death, you left me now. And Death was like, fuck no. And he was like, well, fuck you, and brought everybody back to life. Because literally every Thanos story ends with him undoing the thing that made him successful because he didn't get what he wanted. And then the heroes go, well, fuck you then, and kick his ass.
I can't wait till Guardians of the Galaxy movie when that happens.
God, no kidding. It's going to be such a clusterfuck. But that movie's going to be so good.
He just kills everyone and then at the end looks around and like, eh, and like hits a button on the Infinity Gauntlet and they all wake up.
Age of Apocalypse, Jean murdered by Havoc and X-Men Omega. Again, I don't count that one because it's not really Jean, it's another Jean. Here's my favorite. New X-Men number 148, stabbed by Wolverine on the remains of Asteroid M. Because Wolverine was trying to spare Jean the suffering of burning alive in the sun.
Yeah, that's the one that I remember.
Okay, 2 issues later, the Phoenix reawakened Jean's body where she flew to Earth and was killed by Magneto.
Great.
2 issues later.
Yeah, that was all in the same storyline.
Yeah, she died twice in the same storyline. But, you know, then when you ask Marvel about it, they go, no, she didn't die that often.
Yeah, I remember, like, initially enjoying that storyline, but then thinking, wait, Wolverine, sure, maybe, no, can't survive getting thrown into the sun.
Yeah, that's pretty stupid. Phoenix Insong number 3, stabbed to death by Wolverine, worth noting because Wolverine stabbed her to death, and then she got back up, and so he had to stab her to death. So this is technically 6 separate deaths.
In one go?
In one go, all in the span of like 2 pages. I remember reading that and thinking, this is ridiculous even for the X-Men. And then in that same issue, submerged herself in a glacier, and that is the last death of Jean Grey.
Okay, so I apparently quit reading before her most recent comeback.
She was briefly brought back by the Phoenix, and then she basically killed herself.
Wait, was that the end song? Okay,
yeah,
I read that.
And that was the last one.
I didn't think that that one was really her for some reason. God, who cares? Who knows? Whatever. Fuck you, Marvel. Jesus.
X-Men timeline. We could probably do like an entire podcast series called Mike and Chris Try to Understand the X-Men Timeline. It's just a... So, Mike, what happened was... And then 45 minutes of us going...
It'd be like one of those movies where someone hasn't seen either of us for, like, months and then kicks down our door and we're dead sitting in this room that's got, like, yarn strung from one end of the room to the other trying to make some 3D flowchart.
It's just pictures of Jean Grey on all the walls.
Just this corpse entangled in all this string. Or, like, curled up in a corner naked eating bugs gone mad.
I don't think you'd want to curl up in the corner and eat bugs. Not with what's going on with your asshole right now. No, the pain keeps me awake so I can solve the mystery of the X-Men.
Please, detective, let me show you why there are five beasts.
fun fact, let me think here.
There are currently three, right?
Okay, in the current X-Men storyline, because remember, there are the X-Men from the past, the X-Men from the present, Cyclops' team of X-Men from the present, the X-Men from the future, who are not really the X-Men, they're the Brotherhood of Evil Mutants from the future, and the X-Men from the future, who are the real X-Men from the future. On those teams, we have Iceman from the 60s from the past, who is in the present day. We have Iceman from the present day, who's still in the present day. We have this Ice Hulk brute thing that's in the Brotherhood, and then we have this Iceman that is dressed up like a wizard with a staff and a beard that's with the future X-Men. So there are currently four Icemen.
Couldn't we have just left him powerless after House of M?
No, he was one of the originals. We have to show them respect, even though they're never really in the stories anymore. Unless they're Jean Grey. Jean Grey can die.
But it's part of her thing that she comes back, so she needs to die, or else she's not important.
I think the most amazing thing Marvel could ever do is just leave her dead.
Yes. Like, I wonder how many decades would have to pass before people are like, hey, so when are you actually bringing her back? You killed her a long time ago, guys. I mean, usually she comes back, like, a couple years later, maybe?
Yeah, it's been 10 years now. God, so probably soon.
Well, like you said, there's two genes right now.
Oh, this is true. Damn. Brian Michael Bendis, you are a sneaky bastard. You resurrected Jean Grey without actually resurrecting her.
And you did it twice.
Twice?
Well played. You snuck in two resurrections.
Hats off.
One.
Hats off. He's going to make future Jean and old Jean. Wait. If future Jean wouldn't... I have a nosebleed now.
I should probably go to a doctor.
Reason for visit. Tried to figure out X-Men timeline, and doctors just, like, run out from the... Come on, we're going to take you back now. We need saline and morphine and every other Ian. But not Jean.
Not Jean. The X-Gene.
Brian Michael Bendis will probably have both genes fuse into, like, Super Jean, who will be the resurrected... current Gene.
Nope.
You're about to ask me something that's really going to piss me off, aren't you?
What about Hope?
Oh, she's just Hope.
Okay. Because for a long time she's people were saying that she's like resurrected Gene as a baby.
I was saying that.
I heard it from several areas.
And it's because that first panel where you saw her as a baby, it was just like they drew her to look exactly like Gene.
Little redheaded baby. Just,
yeah. And now, well, I mean, it's X-Men. When little redheaded babies show up at X-Men, everybody goes, it's Jean.
Yeah, like she was dead, and then this baby shows up with red hair and green eyes. It's fucking Jean, baby.
Yeah, so she's just a random redhead now.
She has...
I don't even think she's not really that important to the mythos anymore now, either, because after Avengers vs. X-Men, new mutants are being born again. And that was kind of her shtick for a little while, was that she was the first new mutant birth in since House of M. And then she was able to make, like, she was able to create five more, and that was the mutants from Generation X. Like, she awoke their X genes or whatever. But then after Avengers vs. X-Men, when they destroyed the Phoenix, it reawakened the X genes of the human population and allowed mutants to be born again.
So, all that stuff's done.
All that stuff's done. So now she's in Cable and X-Force, just being kind of a brat, honestly. Oh, but she is being helped out by herself from the future. Forgot to mention that.
So everyone right now has a good future self, a bad future self, a current self, self.
Wolverine does not. Kitty Pryde thought she had herself from the future, but it turns out it was the son of Wolverine and Mystique.
Why not?
Oh, and then,
been fucking this whole
what was the other one? And then, there's Jubilee from the future, but she's got, like, her face is clawed off, and I think she has claws or some bullshit, and she calls herself Wolverine now. And the random Asian baby that she adopted while on the run is now, it wears, like, purple Iron Man armor. And by the way, she's still a vampire.
Well, yeah. I mean, how else could you give yourself claws?
X-Men is such a great franchise.
I was going to ask about that before you said it. It's like, is she still a vampire?
Still a vampire.
God. So, back to what spawned all that. How many beasts are there?
Oh, I think there's only two. No, three. Because
there's
three.
Regular, past, and 60, Dark Beast?
Yeah, there's 60s Beast, Vanilla Beast, and I just remembered we refer to X-Men in flavors. Sorry. Sorry, Internet, we missed that.
Vintage
chance.
Flavor, Vanilla Flavor.
Yeah, you have classic Beast, New Beast, Pepsi Beast, and then there's Mountain Dew Beast, who's over in one of the X books. I can't remember which one. He just showed up, actually.
That Dark Beast.
But that's the Beast from the Age of Apocalypse timeline, who for some reason never goes back to that timeline. They've had like five opportunities, and he keeps going, nah.
Would you?
I'm good. Good point.
Like, hey, Dark Beast, you want to go back
what
to your to your timeline where everything is awful and ruled by this psychotic god mutant? Nah, I'm good.
I think I'll stay here where there's five different Wolverines at any given time.
Five Wolverines is a lot easier to deal with than immortal god mutant. That has blighted the world.
Yep.
Jesus Christ.
But there's still only two Cyclopses.
Good. I saw that panel with him and Havoc, and Havoc's like, hey, high five, is this a thing we do? No.
Yeah, the Summers Brother high five.
No.
Havoc's, like, sudden sad face. No.
God. Fucking, this is the reason why I already said it, that people are like, I love comics, and I love reading comics and making comics. I can understand making them, but reading them is fucking abysmal. And then also the people who are like, no, man, there's good superhero books out there. You just gotta wade through all the fucking bullshit to find them.
I will give you a good superhero. Let me see here. Let me give you the list of good superhero books right now that you should read. Hawkeye is amazing, but what's amazing about Hawkeye is it's a book about Hawkeye specifically when he's not being Hawkeye.
So it's not a superhero book.
It is, but it isn't.
It's about a superhero.
Like, it's about him going, it's him doing superhero things, but he's not with the Avengers, and he usually doesn't have time to put on his costume. But it's a really, fuck it, seriously, if you're listening to this podcast, you aren't reading Hawkeye, you're only cheating yourself. You should really read Hawkeye. Young Avengers is pretty fun. Ultimate Comics Spider-Man is really good. FF and Fantastic Four, for that record, are both really good right now. And again, these are books that are kind of keeping to themselves and not part of the core universes. You will also notice I have not mentioned a DC comic book. I mean, I can't think of a good DC comic book off the top of my head right now. And Batman was pretty good for a little while, but not so much now. Yeah. The Avengers related books are still pretty good, but they're Avengers books, so they're still pretty wacky. Okay, maybe that's about it that I can think of off the top of my head. Because my big problem with DC right now is they just got done with that big Forever Evil crossover, so I haven't read a DC Comics book that's had a DC Comics hero in it for like 2 months. So I'm trying to remember, because I didn't read any of those, because it was like, we've only been doing this new 52 thing for 2 years, and I don't know any of these villains, so I'm not interested in reading anything about them.
That's probably why they did it. It's like, let's try to introduce people to these characters.
Well, you introduced them, like, because they did the fucking Forever Evil thing 2 years before New 52, when they did that Faces of Evil crossover. And that one worked because everybody already knew those villains, so they were interested in them. And now it's like, I know nothing about them. I have no interest in these villains. I don't want to read a book about the Mad Hatter.
I'd actually like to read a book about the Mad Hatter.
All they make him anymore is a pedophile.
Oh, maybe not then.
like that's just, like, somebody was like, how do we deal with the fact that this guy dresses in hats and kidnaps young girls named Alice? He's a pedophile! Well, we were no pedophile.
We were thinking it was something nice and he's crazy and just obsessed with Alice in Wonderland. No pedophile.
Just with Alice in Wonderland. Also, he likes diddling little girls. Ah!
I mean, that's always what I took away from it, was just that he was a crazy guy obsessed with Alice in Wonderland.
Pretty much.
Not fine. But I guess it's DC, and they gotta be edgy, and the best way to be edgy is to be sex crimes.
Oh,
DC. It worked for Law and Order!
Where did that get you?
But that hate mail from angry feminists.
I'm tired and angry now. God damn you, Mike. Well, I made him explain the old DC Universe timeline. He's not still pissed off. Chris, explain to me what's going on in X-Men right now.
This is what I'm going to do next time my stomach goes wacky on me in the middle of a podcast. I'll just be like, explain to me this, and then run off and take a shit. And by the time I'm done, I come back and you're just like, and that Batman sucks!
That's only going to work so many times before I have a seizure.
Well,
thanks for listening to Room Full of Nerd Stuff number one, everybody. I feel like we've gone long enough.
It's only an hour and almost 20 minutes.
But once I cut all the frustrated silence out...
It'll be about an hour and 15 minutes.
An hour and 15 minutes. Thanks for listening, everybody. You can find Mike on Twitter at NoDiceMike. You can find me on Twitter at JCBaggy. You can find us on Twitter at TheHomeWorld. You can also see us talk about wrestling on at RawReactor and at NoDiceMikeWrestling. You can find us on TheHomeWorld.net or TheHomeWorld.tumblr.com, I think. I honestly don't remember. It'll be in the comment thing below the what's it.
It's at NDM Wrestling.
I don't give a shit. It's at Smelly Smells, Smell Smells. Poop.
Speaking of which.
Go to thehomeworld.net, leave you a nice little comment. Tell Mike you hope he poops better soon, and we'll see you guys.
Bye! Next week.